are tuned in to Mid-Morning Empowerment here on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.
All right, so we're connecting with Hanlie van der Westhuizen from the Vista Clinic once again this morning, and we're having another conversation on psychosis. Today we're focusing on success stories, because psychosis is not the end of the road, right? It can be the start of a powerful comeback from breakdown to breakthrough. Today, we want to share stories of people who got help, who healed, and who found their way again. And so, welcome, Hanlie. Thank you so much for joining us once again.
Good morning, Bongi.
Thank you so much. All right, so let's get into some of these success stories. But before we do that, what does recovery from psychosis actually look like?
Bongi, recovering from psychosis is a highly individualized process and can look different for each person. Mm-hmm. However, really, it involves managing symptoms, regaining stability, and improving overall functioning and quality of life. I'm going to just give you some stages and aspects of recovery in a more structured way. The first thing that we look at is symptom reduction and stabilization. The immediate goal is often to reduce or eliminate active symptoms, such as hallucinations, delusions, or disorganized thinking. This typically involves medication, therapy, and support, leading to a period of stability. Then the second phase is the remission phase and the functional improvement phase. Many individuals experience periods where symptoms are minimal or absent. That is what we call remission. They may gradually regain their skills in daily living, work, and relationships. The third phase is rebuilding and personal growth. That is where the person will engage in therapy, which help address thought patterns and coping strategies, and they develop routines, social skills, and coping mechanisms. Those are all key parts of this phase. And then the last one is basically the long-term management. It is the ongoing treatment and support, which are often necessary even after symptoms have improved. This can include medication management, therapy, family support, and community resources. A successful recovery story usually looks like, it has key components in it, and it's the first factor is living a meaningful life. That will entails returning to work, school, or hobbies. It will also entail improved relationships. The person can rebuild trust and social connections. Very important, management of symptoms, recognizing early signs of relapse, and seeking help promptly. There's the enhancements of self-awareness. We hopefully see the person understanding their condition and developing resilience within this condition. Obviously, personal fulfillment, achieving personal goals, gaining confidence, and enjoyment of a quality life. But saying that, not always a complete return to the pre-episode state. Some individuals may continue to experience mild residual symptoms, but they can still lead satisfying lives. Others may have periods of remission punctuated by relapses, which are manageable with treatment. But we stay hopeful, and we still believe in the potential. Many people recover well enough to be independent, hold jobs, and maintain relationship. We must also remember there's a lot of advances in treatment, and early intervention and support systems have significantly improved the outcomes of psychosis over the years.
Mm-hmm. And what role do community and support systems play in recovery?
I think of community and support systems as a team of cheerleaders. The cheerleader analogy fits because it's like encouragement. Just like cheerleaders boost confidence during a game, a support system lifts the spirit and reinforces hope during tough times. A support system believe in your potential. They believe in the person's capacity to recover and succeed and lead a meaningful life, even when the person might doubt themselves at times. The motivation, supporters motivate individuals to stick to their treatment, pursue goals, and overcome setbacks. Very important to celebrate milestones and small victories, reinforce progress and resilience. And then, I must say, beyond cheerleading, although cheerleading captures the emotional boost, actual support systems also offer practical help. Example of this would be transportation to appointments, you know, medication management. I think community must also get themselves involved in advocacy to help navigate the healthcare systems in their community. Earlier, I said that very often primary care, there's a little bit of a problem there in that the primary care practitioners don't always know how to refer and aren't always, you know, educated enough to see early symptoms and intervene early. And I think the community can really play a very, very big role in help navigating healthcare systems, make sure that primary care connections with private care is in place and that our primary caregivers are educated. Mm-hmm. Beyond the education of primary caregivers, we need education of the public. We need to raise awareness and we need to raise understanding of this phenomena. And then, you know, also have safety networks in place. So, you know, community and support systems really play a crucial role, you know, in the recovery process from psychosis. It's really practical and it draws together social resources.
Right. And would you say there are some common factors that you might be able to share in the stories of successful recovery?
Definitely. If we look at the theory and the academic feedback that we see in terms of common denominators, early intervention is really the most important factor. The sooner we can get a person into treatment, the better the outcomes are. So I talked about structural problems and obstacles before, but people should have access to comprehensive treatment. Mm-hmm. Our success stories, often the people had access to comprehensive treatment. And they have strong support systems, family, friends, peer groups, community resources. Right. You know, all of that helps with treatment adherence. It reduces isolation and it fosters hope. You know, positive outlook, hope, motivation, those all are very vital in the recovery story. Mm-hmm. So, you know, many of those individuals actively engage in therapy, self-care, and personal growth endeavors. Education and awareness, very important. Knowledge empowers individuals, and we need to reduce stigma. Okay. Very often, our people with their success stories have stable environments. They have a safe, supportive, and stable living environment, and that reduces stress and triggers. So that helps a lot. You know, they have personal goals, they have meaningful activities that they engage in, that also helps. Very often they have access to tailored person-centered care. You know, I want to share some, you know, stories in terms of, you know, maybe public figures, because unfortunately, because of the POPI Act and confidentiality, we as professionals can't really share the personal stories that we see in our practices and in our professional lives. So we have to look at, you know, public figures, you know, to share stories of recovery from psychosis. The one notable example is a book that I previously mentioned in our talks, is the book of Ellen Sachs. Her background is that she's a legal scholar, a mental health advocate, and a professor at the University of Southern California. She has been very open about her struggles with schizophrenia, which included episodes of psychosis. Despite her diagnosis, Sachs managed to lead a successful professional and personal life. She has spoken publicly about her journey, including the challenges of managing her condition and the importance of treatment, support, and resilience. You know, she has written a book, and the book I've mentioned priorly, and that story really demonstrates that with proper treatment, support, and determination, individuals with psychosis can achieve their goals and have fulfilling lives. Other examples that are maybe more accessible to our listeners is the story of Demi Lovato. She's a singer and actress who has spoken openly about her mental health struggles. And during COVID, she released a self-published documentary. I think it's called Dancing with the Devil. I'm not sure. But that story also include her diagnosis, which is bipolar mood disorder with psychosis, and also demonstrating in her story that very often other conditions are also part and parcel of this condition. It's not just the one streamlined diagnosis. Very often there are comorbid issues. In her case, there was a struggle with substance use mm-hmm. and eating disorder as well. And then John Nash, the Nobel Prize-winning mathematician who struggled with schizophrenia, his life story was famously depicted in the film A Beautiful Mind, definitely highlighting his struggles in eventual management of his condition.
Beautiful. And how does, you know, sharing those stories, how does that inspire hope?
I think these stories matter a lot, really. I think the first thing is that they show us that recovery is possible, even with severe mental health challenges. Mm-hmm. I think they show possibility and, you know, they show that mental health conditions aren't a permanent or hopeless situation. They counter fears and misconceptions. So seeing someone who has faced similar struggles and come out on the other side really reassures people. They also break down stigma, which is extremely important. That is also one of the golden threads in our talks up to now, is that we struggle a lot with stigma when we try to fight psychosis. So, you know, to see famous people having successful lives, you know, that definitely breaks down stigma, and they provide role models. You know, recovery stories act as role models, and they inspire individuals to pursue treatment and to do the self-care and to have the personal goals. They really offer hope during despair. And there's really, you know, a sense of belonging when we see that other people also struggle. It reduces our feelings of isolation that is often very common with mental health struggles. And then also important, it encouraged persistence. The problem that we have is that we've got limited stories in South Africa. And the reason for that, mainly, I understand, is the prevalence still of stigma. I think people are really, you know, they struggle to go on TikTok and or to have a blog and to share their stories. It's still a little bit problematic in South Africa still. But we also had that series. I don't know if you can remember it, Bongi, the Living With series. It was a campaign initiated by a medical aide, and it became a TV program, which featured life stories of recovery. I think if you look on YouTube, you can still find it. And then there are other several initiatives and programs in South Africa. SADAC, South African Depression and Anxiety Group, have a lot of activities, and where they often share personal testimonials and host support groups where real life stories are part of the community events. They've got a website and they've got social media, so one can just look them up on SADAC. The other more global and broader initiatives are Stories of Hope. And then there's if you look hashtag The Mighty, you will find an online platform where individuals worldwide share personal stories of mental health, including psychosis. And then there's also the TED Talks and the documentaries that often, you know, people on TED Talk have, you know, share their personal life story when you know, providing powerful narratives of hope and resilience.
Beautiful. Love that. And what can we learn from those who've walked this journey before us?
Well, I think the most important thing that we can learn is that recovery is possible. That is the most powerful for me, that personal stories demonstrate that hope and resilience can lead to meaningful recovery even after severe episodes. And they show that living a fulfilling life is achievable with the right support and with keeping to yes. your program.
Yes. Yes.
I think they also illustrate that early and appropriate treatment is crucial. Mm-hmm. You know, many other recovered individuals emphasize that early intervention and adherence to treatment, you know, medication and therapy are crucial. And delays or discontinuation can make recovery more difficult, highlighting the importance of timely care. Mm-hmm. I think they also show to us that support systems matter. All these people have support from family, friends, peers, and mental health professionals. They all play a pivotal role. You know, to feel understood and accepted can boost confidence and it can give you the motivation to recover. Mm-hmm. I think personal stories often highlight inner strength and resilience and determination. It causes people who listen to these stories, they develop respect for individuals. Mm-hmm. who persist yeah. in their journey to recovery. And that can really lead to powerful self-awareness and education. You know, if you can reduce the self-stigma, yeah. you are in a powerful position to manage your condition. I think they also indicate that sharing is valuable and that we need to reduce the feelings of isolation. So I think that is a value yeah. that these narratives communicate. Often also the need for holistic care. Often the people who share these stories, you know, these stories often include that it's more than medication, that you know, therapy are multidimensional and definitely multidisciplinary. And then I think hope. Positivity. Mm. It's such an important component to keep, as we already said, that to deal with this illness, to actually go on the journey of recovery is not a walk in the park. Yeah. There's a lot of things that are difficult, but to know that you are not alone, you're not isolated, and there are people who have been successful, I think that helps a lot.
Absolutely. Well, thank you so much once again, Hanley, for coming through. Such important conversations to have, and we're grateful for your time. We'll connect again on Monday.
Thanks, Bongi. Have a lovely weekend. Take care.
Thank you.
You are tuned in to Mid-Morning Empowerment here on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.